to Wally and Mary. Would you all go over there, please? Check the assignment board for the week.
Oh, boy, summer. This is fun.
We had some confusion last week with Wally Ballou. He brought his family into town. We had a big assignment for him. We don't want that to happen again.
Well,
just look over the lineup for the week, and then you can make your plans
all
without
right,
getting... Any mix-up over what you're supposed to do.
You know,
well-run organization.
Have
everything set up.
Well, I think...
There's a
little trouble over at the assignment board.
Well, now I guess they...
What do you mean?
Would you
I'm very sorry.
All right, thanks very much.
Hey, Bob, we've been so pressed for time all day long that we haven't had a chance to call our answering service.
I know.
Messages, you know.
In fact, we haven't called them since Friday. You think it'd be a good idea to call the answering service?
No,
right,
so, really, yeah.
You have the number there, that piece of paper?
Yeah, it's right there.
Let's see.
Hello, Ines Clayton speaking. Ines Clayton of the Mrs. Bordes Answering Service.
Hello, this is Bob Elliott of Bob and Ray. Any messages for us?
Yes, I have some here. The first is a message for Mr. Goulding.
Who?
Mr. Goulding.
Is there a Mr. Goulding
That's
here?
Me, Bob, me.
Oh, it's for Ray. Yeah, well, I'll take it.
All right. Would you tell him that a Mrs. Enid Preston called, and she said that the paper sticker for his car...
What sticker is that?
I believe she said it was the one that read, Vote Yes on Proposition 12.
I see, yeah.
Or it might have said Vote No on that. I can't remember.
Matter.
Well, anyhow, it's in the mail.
Oh, good.
And she mentioned that Mr. Goulding better not put it near the exhaust pipe on his car, as the glue on the paper melts easily.
All right, well, I'll tell Ray that it's in the mail.
And she also mentioned that the sticker had glue on both sides, so Mr. Goulding can paste it inside or outside his car. It's optional, she said.
Any messages for me?
Did you order a globe? A world globe from a department store?
Yes, I did, about a month ago.
I thought so.
What about it?
Well, the man from the store told me to tell you that during the hot spell, the paint on the globe ran and all the countries fused together.
Oh.
He asked me to ask if he still wanted it.
Well, I guess it's better than nothing. If he calls back, tell him to deliver it, okay?
All right, let me copy that down. Mr. Elliott wants the... Defective.
I don't know what you call it. Defective.
The funny globe delivered.
Mm-hmm.
That's got it. Incidentally, the man from the store told me to tell you that it's a COD, $36.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to know if you'd be there to accept it and pay for the delivery.
Well, somebody will be there.
Well, the man from the store said that you'd better be there to accept it because the globe kind of looks like a beach ball. And only you'd know it was the world globe.
Uh-huh.
See, well, what he meant was someone else might not want to pay $36 for what seemed to be a beach ball. So will you be there when it's delivered?
Did he say what day it would be delivered?
He said once he knew whether you wanted it, and you seemed to want it.
Yes, I do.
Well, he said that once he knew, the world globe would be delivered sometime between the 8th of this month and the 4th of next month.
Well, that would time you up for almost, let me see, about a month, I guess.
Just about, Mr. Elliott.
Well, I'll tell you, if he calls back, tell him to put the world globe in a box.
That's a good idea. If it's in a box, anyone can take it. No questions asked.
Well, that's it, then. Tell him to put it in a box, and I don't care when it's delivered. Any other messages for us?
Yes, there's another message for you from the department store. They wanted to know if you ordered a beach ball.
I ordered a medicine ball, not a beach ball.
Well, the factory colored some medicine balls by mistake, and things are very chaotic at the store. They want to know...
I tell you, that's about all the time we have to spend talking with you at the moment, Miss Clayton. But,
don't forget to remind Mr. Goulding that the stickers are on the way.
I'll tell him, and we'll call back after the show with any more messages, all right? Goodbye. I don't think it would.
he needed to even bother calling that.
Oh, well, I'm glad those stickers are coming. I like them for the car.
Hey, what are my assignments on the board there, sir, to help you with the Columbia Photograph commercial?
Yeah, by that we...
What do you want me to do?
We want you to hold it up so the audience can see it while we talk about it.
Oh, you don't want me to say anything?
But still, if you could put it on the top of your head, maybe...
Well, now, these are very... very light and easy to carry, but I wouldn't advise carrying them on my head.
No, you don't have to carry. Just so the folks at the rear of the huge auditorium from where we're broadcasting today can see.
Oh, you mean just hold it up, right up there. Balance it, kind of. All right.
There you see it, audience. That's one of the seven new portables by Columbia. And you know you can carry the fun with you with the Columbia Stereophonic high-fidelity portable phonograph. If it bothered you, you can put it down.
No,
you
all right. See it? It's lighter than I thought, actually.
Mm-hmm. And, this,
want me to pretend to put a, plug it into my pocket?
Yeah. That'll give it a nice clip. Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. That's a nice added fillip. The more quality and there's more features and more styling built into new Columbia portables than ever before. Play stereo and even regular records take on new beauty when you play them on these beautiful Columbia phonographs.
So thrilled to the excitement of Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound, and they're economical too. Prices start only $24.95. See them at your Columbia dealer today.
No, it's okay. I can take it down now. They're all through with the commercial.
Once again, it's time for Grand Hotel, a speck of a place, a heck of a place on Route 14 near Hadleyville, where the mountains reach the sky and living is as easy as pie. And once again, we find uncompromising owner and general manager Leonard Humphrey out front.
I'm coming. Stop blowing the horn. Come, start it. The vibration cracked the east well on the front desk.
Hey, mister.
All right.
What are your rates here? What are the rates? Let's go.
Well, first let me introduce myself. I'm Leonard Humphrey, owner and general manager of Grand Motel.
Well, that's fine. Now, what are your rates?
You can have a cabin for $1.75 a day.
It's a little steep, Humphrey. Do I get any services thrown in with it?
Yeah. You get a free continental breakfast consisting of donuts and coffee.
And what time do you serve the continental breakfast, Humphrey?
Well,
Wait a minute. Wait till I get there.
Now, don't tell him what time you serve the breakfast.
All right, Neil.
Say, Humphrey, what's a swell-looking girl doing in a dump like this?
She's my daughter.
Dad, did you tell him what time we served the continental breakfast?
Not yet, Naomi.
Well, thank heavens for that. Now, listen, Dad, we can't afford to lose another customer, so serve the continental breakfast whenever he wants it. Yes. Remember, we need the money for advertising purposes.
All right, Naomi, I'll serve it whenever he wants it.
Hey, Alfred, I asked you a question. I never got an answer.
Well, the continental breakfast will
That's
be served...
That's not the question I want an answer to. Come on now, come on. I asked you before, what's a swell-looking girl like that doing in a dump like this?
She's my daughter.
Okay. Now, what time's the continental breakfast, sir?
Any time you want it.
All right, I'm free. Let's see. Now, I want to fly out of here and be back. I'll gamble till about 1 in the morning and fly. See, I should be back here, Humphrey. I want the free continental breakfast at 4 in the morning.
All right. You can have the continental breakfast at 4 in the morning.
That's more like it, Dad.
Everything's under control here, Naomi. Better change the blotter on the front desk.
Say, Humphrey, suppose I get back from Vegas an hour early. Can I have the continental breakfast at 3?
Well, I suppose I can relax the rules a little bit. Yes, you can have the continental breakfast at 3.
Wait a minute, Humphrey. What kind of a place is this? I don't like the idea of relaxed rules. I'll bet you relax all kinds of rules around here.
You wait a minute, sir. Take your hand off the brake. Release and... Take your hand off the brake, release, and listen.
No, sir. Who knows what kind of a bad place this is? So long, Humphrey.
Well, shucks. Wait till Naomi hears about this.
And Leonard Humphrey take much more of this and remain solvent is advertising the answer to the problem. Be with us again soon as another car pulls up to Grand Motel.
Arthur Schrank, our whale announcer, is calling in from the office of station manager Hubbard Hood in WKRC Cincinnati.
Oh, good old Hub. I hope he understands the predicament.
Yeah, hello, Arthur.
Hello. Hey again, Frank.
Oh, get off.
The money we've put in advertising.
Oh, get off my ear, will you, Hood? Hey, Bob and Ray.
Yes,
Boy, I had to scrape him up the ceiling when I told him that Smelly Dave had been, Mr. Second Layer Hood.
I can't make out much of what you're saying.
I'm just saying that when I told Mr. Hood that Smelly Dave had been kidnapped. Hi, everybody. Arthur Schrank. How are you, Bob?
Okay.
Hey,
what's the
trouble?
Guy
Hood, I had to scrape him off the ceiling when I told him that Dave was whale-napped.
Well, you explained to him that it was out of our hands, that we have a detective working on it, and we're trying to run down all the clues we have.
Yeah, but, I mean, I have to take all the blame. Why don't you people talk to him?
What am I going
to
tell my listeners?
Gee whiz, I mean...
You're writing in there, phoning up Frank all the time, and I think you should be held responsible.
Hey, Hood, come here.
Yes?
Talk to the boss.
I don't want to talk to the boss.
Well, don't give me all the...
You're here as a whale representative.
Well,
of a representative you are.
Well, I don't know.
Well, Arthur, look, talk to him as best you can and try to get some...
can't talk to the guy.
Give our best to all the folks at WKRC in Cincinnati, will you? There are wonderful people out there.
I know, but Mr. Hood is upset.
I don't see what we can do to a phony like this, Frank.
Hang up, Bob.
Yeah. Bye, Arthur.
Wonderful time they're all having out at good old WKRC in Cincinnati, and we hope Mr. Hood is happy and pleased with the promotion.
Well, he didn't seem to be too happy and pleased with it.
Well, I couldn't hear. I could just sit for a second.
Hello?
Hello? Is that the Shrek again?
Yeah. Well, Arthur, we don't have any more time to talk to you. I know you're having trouble out there, but...
He hit me.
Well, I tell you...
I don't know what to do.
He had reason to. I really think he did.
Okay.
Give me that other phone over there, will you? We've got to get Thurber Whitechapel and continue his story from Chicago. Telephonic story he began
on this big, huge iceberg.
Well, this fellow was going back to Bulgaria, where he was born, right, to get some cream pie like you remembered.
The boat, it hit this iceberg, and in a matter of a second, it was well under the water. It was a tough thing. Well, he was floundering around...
Thurber, if you could just kind of speed it up a little, get to the point, what happens when he gets back to Bulgaria?
Well, he got picked up by this Norwegian sardine trawler.
Oh, he was picked up.
And they were brought back and dropped off the captain's name of this Norwegian sardine trawler, but he went way out of his way to
probably
bring him back, and he dropped him off in France.
Well, he got to France. He got to the mainland.
Well, now he's. Meanwhile, of course, all he has is the one wet suit.
Yes, not very much money either. I remember
he
liquidated all his assets before he left.
All his money is gone, and he had to get a train now to go up over the Swiss Alps and down into his native Bulgaria over down below. Well, he.
You think maybe he'd get there tomorrow because we're going to have to call
him. Over, and he got on the train. Train pulled out of Cherbourg and was heading.
Well, I tell you, we will have to carry that over until tomorrow because there's no more time left today, but it is getting interesting.
It sure is. And we'll have to get a nice letter out to Mr. Hood to explain things.
Yes.
Until tomorrow, then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.